What's cracking, big dogs? Welcome back to the dungeon. We're in the contaminated dungeon. This is the Fade the Public podcast. I am Nicholas. That is Animal, and that is Snacks.
How you doing? Rock and roll.
I'm so, like, I knew you were. You're so cringy. So, as we're doing every single week, we're giving away a draft guide to two people that unfortunately choose to follow these guys on Twitter: Animal_BDGE, Snacks_BDGE, and Fade the Public. Fade_the_public.
Yeah, follow on Twitter. That shit too.
If you follow those three accounts, you will be automatically entered into a Big Dogs draft guide giveaway. So make sure you do that. You also have to comment down below. We're also going to be giving away one draft guide for those of y'all that answer this following questions in the comments. I want y'all to name down below one team that did not make the playoffs last year that will make the playoffs in 2019 and why. Drop some big facts along with the answer. If you do that, you will automatically be entered into the draft guide giveaway. If you answer with the Giants, you will be automatically eliminated.
That's not true. I was going to say, you guys know exactly who to say to give yourself a better chance.
I was
going to
say
the same thing. The Falcons. I think we're all going to say our own.
I was going to say, like, yeah, if you pick the Broncos, you got a good head on you, and you might get
a draft guide. That's not true. I gave a draft guide away to somebody who DM'd me, like, Giants suck dick. And I was like, I respect it.
Sometimes I respect a lot of comments enough to just.
He goes,
that.
"Love your work, but Giants suck dick. Give me that free draft guy." I was like, "Okay,
we got a great fucking show on our hands today. We haven't actually sat down and talked fantasy in a minute. I think last week was our league meeting. The week before that was Evan Silva. The week before that was down the Jersey Shore.
That's right.
Correct. So yeah, it's the first time we're back in the dungeon, really breaking down the big facts and giving y'all some valuable information. As always, hit that thumbs up button if you enjoy. Subscribe to the channel if you're new. We're covering everything 2019 fantasy football. Today, we are going to be talking about preseason takeaways, what we've seen through 2 weeks thus far, some of the best keeper selections. If you are in a keeper league or a dynasty league, whatever, we're looking at guys later in the drafts, 10th round or later, who you should be targeting, maybe based on contract situations, maybe based on an insecure role right now that could eventually find their way into a role and be very valuable to y'all's fantasy team. And we're going to end the episode with a long-forgotten herd of goats.
Oh!
Might be the last one of the season. We might. Maybe.
No, we got two more apps.
Squeeze one more in.
We're going to squeeze one more in. Today's herd of goats is going to be Drunk Munchies Food, which is Animal's fucking specialty. Take one look at this beast.
Not getting drunk, but eating.
I mean, I could do it all, but yeah, I prefer the eating part.
Yeah,
I prefer the other part.
Same. I mean, it's a beautiful combination no matter how you fucking look at it.
You're not wrong.
Sort of like Marlon Mack getting 18 of the first 19 snaps with the first team.
Ooh,
a beautiful combination. So, you know what to do. Follow them. Drop a comment down below. Also, with your live drafts coming up, make sure that you throw a confession cam into your live draft. Set up a camera in the corner of wherever you guys do your live draft and have people fucking confess into the camera. Send us your best clips. We're going to make a beautiful montage, and maybe you will be featured in one of the Fade the Public episodes. Last announcement before we get into the show guts. This weekend is the second annual Big Dogs Gotta Eat NYC Live Draft Weekend. Without further ado, Mr. Austin, you are on the clock.
Passed on Bill for David Johnson, even though Bill has been his number one guy forever. So, you know, when I beat him with Gurley, just remember back to this video.
Big one.
Ooh, motherfuckers.
Some fucking bullshit.
All right, Devonta Adams just went right after me.
Lucas, what do you have to say for yourself?
Deshaun Watson!
I'm upset.
Yo, this is my man Austin, all the way out from Rich, what?
Yo, I just took Aaron Jones, hoping that Jamal Williams fails. He's not my guy. Hell nah.
You want to have a good time? You need to party with these cats.
We got 10 subs from all over the country flying out to New York City. We rented an Airbnb. We're going to hang. We're going to kick it. And we got a live fantasy draft on Saturday. The draft will kick off at 1 p.m. Eastern time on Saturday, 8:24, I believe, possibly 8:23. I'm not sure the date, but we will be live streaming that on YouTube. So 1 p.m. Eastern, you will be able to check out a real live draft that me and Snacks are involved in, as well as 10 other people. So get your fucking alarm clocks out. Stop yelling. Tuck your shirts in and let's fucking eat. Welcome, Bike, to the dungeon. This episode is sponsored by Jeffrey Dahmer. Let's talk about some of the preseason notes of the last 2 weeks. Who are your shout out to a young codeine for the inspiration on these glasses today? By the way,
is that where you got that from?
Hell yeah, you look like Jeffrey Dahmer. I used to rock.
I saw the picture.
Wait,
yeah.
Who, Cody?
Yeah. You didn't see the picture he put in the group meet today?
No, I didn't. Let me look at it.
Yeah, he put in the clear specs, and I was like, codeine, you motherfucker.
I love him.
We need to bring him out.
It's like half his face too, which makes it even more Dahmer-esque.
Yeah, it does.
It's like.
I hit him bike with that pick.
Oh, wait, I did see it. I liked it. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, the Dahmer shades.
Oh, it was at 1:52 a.m.
Yeah, what are you doing sending Dahmer picks at 1:52 a.m., Cody?
Well, yeah, but he's in Washington.
He's on the West Coast.
Oh, word.
Yeah.
It's the West Coast.
So it's like 4 hours before us.
Okay. It's too much nonsense right now. Let's talk about preseason takeaways. Daniel Jones has looked fucking sharp throwing the ball. Intermediate and short passes are... What? He's shown touch on long passes. This is with a depleted receiving group. Yep. And I am thoroughly impressed by what we've seen from Daniel Jones.
I'm blown away.
When is he going to start? When is he getting that start?
They're going to have a... They have a big September. So if they go like 1-3...
There's going to be like a 4-pick game by Eli Manning and then D. Jones.
They're going to call first. But if they go like 3-1 in September, then they're probably going to ride him through October. I see maybe week 8 against Arizona.
Has Ingram played much throughout this preseason? At all?
He hasn't played any preseason.
Fuck, I want to see him target.
I want to see.
He looks great in practice, though, I can tell you that.
I would love to see D. Jones go to Ingram, because if he's running those short intermediate routes,
and he's playing against backups. Well, first of all,
That was true, though.
Okay, yeah, it's true, but he's a fucking rookie, too.
I know, but he looks really
good. And he's not throwing to Saquon. He's not throwing to Evan Ingram.
Yeah. The throws look strong.
The throws
accuracy
look good.
Is there,
the accuracy
man.
Is pinpoint.
It's absolutely
true. Well, he was throwing to Cody Latimer, who is one of your starting wide receivers. He was throwing to Benny Fowler, who caught the touchdown, who was another one of your starting wide receivers.
You know what my favorite part about him was? The first game, all we heard was it was his first read. There were quick timing throws. Okay, fine, I get it. Still put the ball where it had to be. Last game, last week, was he went through his progressions, went through his second read. He fumbled twice, back-to-back series, right?
I'm way more concerned about interceptions than fumbles.
Yeah.
The fumbles are just lucky chance. They're not predictive.
He fumbled twice, didn't put his hand down. What he did after that, went 8-for-8 with a touchdown.
Yeah, he looked good.
Looks good.
I'm excited.
Looks poised.
He's someone that I'm willing to draft in the last two, three rounds of a super flex league.
Absolutely.
Oh, for sure. Because he'll be a starter soon. He's got the athleticism that gives him a floor. We haven't really seen him run it yet.
I was just going to say,
we haven't seen him run it yet, but the fact that the arm looks good, man.
Yeah,
I would be excited if I were you.
He's starting to make people eat their words. It's got to continue. And you tweeted out on our FTP Twitter account that look for him in Dynasty Leagues, because pretty soon, super flex, he's going to be a... stud.
So I did not tweet that out, but I do agree with it. I do agree. In Dynasty Leagues, I would 100% throw a pick at him or a waiver claim.
Right. I'm excited to see that. I mean, again, it's backups, but the offensive line looks night and day better than what it has. So I'm excited about my man Daniel Jones's future.
I'm excited that I think we got the Daniel Jones talk out of the way.
Well, I mean, it's actually pretty relevant.
No,
it is. He was labeled a bust before he even stepped on the field. So to see him actually going out there throwing the ball well is nice to see.
Let's talk about the Seahawks. Yes. Because they have a backfield conundrum. Mm. Well, not really. Doesn't look like it.
No, Carson.
It's Carson's backfield to take. Penny is not taking that backfield by talent. It's not happening.
No.
I rewatched.
Which we thought was going to be the case.
A possibility. At least forcing like a 50-50 timeshare.
Right.
I watched the preseason game of Seahawks last night. I rewatched it this morning to get a gauge on the snap share between the two. Russell Wilson was on the field for 17 snaps. Chris Carson was on the field for 14 of them. Rashad Penny, 3. Carson got 5 carries, 2 targets, so he's getting involved in the passing game. He got an opportunity.
Like they said he would.
Exactly. They got an opportunity on half of the snaps that he was in. So as far as I'm concerned, Rashad Penny is not more talented than Chris Carson, and he's not taking that role unless Chris Carson has an injury. That was always a concern of mine, obviously, that he has a lengthy injury history. Mm-hmm. But it's looking more and more like Chris Carson in the 5th round is a good investment.
Good bang for your buck, yeah,
especially
man.
If you went safety over the first 4 or 5 rounds or 3 or 4 rounds or whatever, and you're looking for a high upside running back. Carson's looking good. I'm sure his ADP is going to creep up pretty.
Yeah,
pretty
I think
fiercely.
He's going to end up going in the 4th.
Yeah, I think he'll be a 4th round pick as well.
Because I think there's a good drop off of running back talent, and
because there's too many guys now that were in that area, like Derrick Henry and like Leonard Fournette, that you just don't really want to touch.
Yeah.
So like,
would you
I'd
take
probably,
Carson or Fournette?
Carson.
Yeah.
Yeah, not even close.
Yeah, I'd probably agree with you.
I think Fournette's more talented. I think it's close. Can't stay on the field.
I think it's close.
Can't stay on the field.
Yeah.
And I think in the beginning, we were almost looking for reasons to like Penny over Carson.
100%.
Well, because of the draft capital.
Right, it just makes more sense. He just like fit, the math just fits very well for Rashad Penny, so you want it to happen.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely. And we forget Carson was a fucking beast last year.
Yeah.
And he's carried it over. He don't want to lose that job. And right now, I don't think he is.
He looked fucking good in the preseason game. Yeah. And it's good that they finally got him involved in the passing game. I mean, he got two targets within like the first quarter basically of the game. And if he's getting 4 or 5 targets a game on top of a rushing workload that he's getting,
damn,
it's going to be a scary thing out there in Seattle.
They're going to have a steal in the 4th, 5th round.
Yeah, 100%. And just one other takeaway from that game, Tyler Lockett was on the field for all 17 of Wilson's snaps. He got 4 of Wilson's 9 attempts. So that's a 44% target share. DK Metcalf was missed practice. He had a strained oblique for a while, and now he's undergoing some sort of knee procedure. And
yeah,
supposedly it's minor, but like anything at this point,
and it's too close to the season.
And you're talking about a guy that's had a problem staying healthy in the past, so
right.
The season hasn't even started. He's already having issues.
I've seen a lot of doctors weigh in on this, and they're talking about how like his lack of agility and his lack of explosiveness from the core and like the groin muscles are what's causing a lot of these injuries. Mm-hmm. And going back to college, people want to talk about his athleticism, but he missed so many fucking games in college, mm-hmm. and this is a recurring thing.
Everyone here is only faster, bigger, and stronger now, so like,
yeah,
he's exactly. not getting tackled by these small guys that he was in college, and he's gonna get beat up.
So let Metcalf fall to someone else, or let him drop to the waivers. This, I mean, Tyler Lockett's gonna see a fucking 35% target share or something in this offense. I think he's been atop that like tier of guys for me in the 4th, 5th round. You know, the Tyler Boyds, Ridley's. Mm-hmm. He's been atop that list for me, but this kind of just more so secures it. That was another takeaway I had. I know you wanted to talk about Kerryon Johnson for a second.
Yeah,
I got to pee, but continue on. I'll be
keep
back.
Peeing. I know CJ Anderson. You worship him. I know that.
Let's pump the brakes on that. But yeah,
but
I'm a fan.
He's Kerryon's not getting full workload. It's very concerning to me. They're taking him out on third downs. He was taken out on a second down. I think it was midway through the first. That, to me, is very concerning. We're all pretty high on him, and it's a great situation with a great talent. Mm-hmm. But if he's getting that workload eaten into, I'm going to have to move him back, which I don't want to do.
See, it seems like they're going to be splitting carries, but you just change your shirt. Very nice.
You see what my shirt is?
No.
Yeah, you got to look at it.
I can't see it. Are you fucking kidding me? Is this a joke? Where did you? Why? How? Where do I get one?
That's so good.
I'll give you one guess who made it.
George.
Facts.
Yeah.
Motherfucker. So no wonder why he's been so nice to me. He knew this was coming today.
This came to my fucking apartment weeks ago, but we had the fucking Evan Silva one. We had the league meeting, so I couldn't whip it out until fucking now.
You should have sent that to Evan Silva.
This is...
Facts. I was thinking about tweeting a picture of it to him and see what his
reply
was, but I didn't
want to
ruin
it. I will say something that's very funny. It's hilarious. Really is. I hate myself for that picture, that face.
I think it's great that it came
out. I will also say, if you take that away, that's a sweet tank top. Like, just a plain white one. That's a sweet look. I am so fucking pissed. You know what? George, I'm coming to where you live. Don't come to where I live. I'm coming to where you live, and I'm beating the piss out of you.
Love it. You heard it
I
here.
Knew there was Showdown. A reason why he was being so nice to me.
Yeah.
100%. Like, on the side, just, like, being really nice.
We had to wait a long time to whip this out. So,
fuck.
I love that you didn't even notice it.
I can't see it.
You were just like, did you change your shirt?
And I was when you laughed like that, I was like, oh, whoa.
I set that up. Like, as soon as I got here, I put the shirt in the bathroom knowing I was going to change. That's why, remember when we were taking a selfie, and I was like, oh, wait.
You wanted
to
I wanted to put this on, but I also
wanted to surprise you.
That's why.
Because you were like, what the fuck are you saying back there? I was like, fuck you.
You also just said I have to pee, and you literally came back in like 2 seconds.
Yeah, it was
like,
very quick. No toilet flush.
Exactly.
But we were...
So you call getting fucking finesse. You're talking about Kerryon Johnson. Like something about a great situation. That's what I heard from you.
No, I said going into it, we liked it because there was no Theo Riddick who was going to... You know, been the mainstay back there, and we liked Kerryon going in, but they're not keeping him on the field.
KJ was pulled on all 3 third downs, 2 to CJ, one to Ty.
Don't like that
so
at all.
I can understand if it was like 3rd and 1 and it was CJ both times. I'm like, okay with that, but Ty Johnson, the rookie, like he's a poor man's version of
Are they Kerryon. Just like, third is it preseason? Are they just kind of playing around?
Dude, I think it's just like, this is what we're going to get.
Or is it because Patricia's a Belichick guy and he's going to do a running back by committee no matter what?
I think he like doesn't know what he's doing, but he just like wants to pretend he's Belichick. He's like, you go in there now.
Yeah. I remember Bill doing this.
Yeah,
so,
he like got another running back.
Bill just sent players out and it worked. So here, go.
4th string running back, get in there.
Get in there. Fucking screen pass down the field.
It's concerning to me because 3rd down is the pass catching down, and that's where I thought we'd see Kerryon, you know.
What we need to see in the third preseason game is, has Stafford played yet? Was he playing in this one?
No. I don't
What we need to see is a 2-minute drill. with the first team offense to see who's really out there. I think it's going to be KJ. I can't imagine. Like, who the fuck else is built to be on this
I'm definitely going to be closely watching
that. I wouldn't be really worried about CJ Anderson just because he hasn't been durable his entire career.
Ty Johnson is going to have a role in this backfield.
Yeah, I would be more worried about Ty Johnson.
It was just the fact that CJ was coming in for Kerryon on those third downs, which I just...
It's not a good look.
I mean, look what he did with LeBlanc last year. It was halfway through the season, and Kerryon Johnson was averaging 6 yards a carry. LeGarrette Blount was averaging literally 2.7 yards per carry, but he kept feeding him the same number of carries. After the bye, KJ took over. But, like, are they going to do that with CJ Anderson again?
Didn't Kerryon average, like, 5.6 yards a carry or something stupid?
Yeah,
like
him and Aaron Jones, like, led the NFL in yards per carry.
It's fucking ridiculous.
I don't know.
And they just don't want
to
keep him on.
It's just another murky situation. So, for those of y'all that pushed his ADP up to the second round, continue to not do that anymore.
No,
please.
I like him in the fourth.
Yeah, ideally it's the fourth. If you're going to own Kerryon, you're probably going to have to
get him
draft
in the
third.
Yep.
Otherwise, you're probably not going to own him. Right. One other thing I would like to mention, and you tweeted about this, about Ty Montgomery. He has taken every single snap with the first team at running back. Yep. There's no Elijah McGuire. There's no Bilal Powell. There's no whatever the fuck else they got going on in that backfield. Montgomery has been involved, and on every single snap with the first team, while Le'Veon Bell sits, he's
and
not
looks
playing.
Good. He's
looked very good, very versatile. We forget that Ty Mont like had that.
He was
run.
A wide receiver.
He had that run at the end of the Packers season a couple years ago, and going into the next season, he was like a fourth round pick because people thought he was going to be the workhorse in Green Bay.
We were all making fun of him because he wore 88 and was getting handoffs.
Ty Mont's going to have a role there, man.
Yeah, I think he will for sure because I don't see Le'Veon being the guy all season. Just in that Gase offense.
How do you see him losing work though? In which what avenue do you see him?
The only way is him getting
just
hurt.
Like, same because I don't see like from a talent like.
I just don't see him getting 30 touches a game.
No, of course not. If you're going to tell me he's getting 30 touches a game, he'd be my fucking.
But I mean, what was he getting with Pittsburgh? 25, 30 touches?
I mean, sometimes, but I don't know, 21 or some shit.
Yeah, he's not going to touch that in New York.
We'll see. I mean, they've been using Ty Mont very like versatilely. Is that a fucking?
Versatile.
In very versatile ways, I guess.
Damn,
I want to figure out that word.
Yeah.
Versatile.
They've been using him very versatilely.
They've been using him in a very versatile way.
Versatility. That's right there. They've been using him very versatilely, and he's been, you know, running screen passes, getting throws from the slot and stuff. So that's cool. Chris Herndon has also played on every single snap except one for the Jets. I still can't pull the trigger on redraft leagues because he's missing the four games.
Because it's a tight end position.
You can or can't?
I can.
Yeah?
It's a tight end position.
Yeah, but like he's just going to sit on your bench for four games.
I kind of side more with you because if I'm not getting an Ertz, Kelsey, or like a Kittle, or
he's going
to
come
like
back fresh and ready to go.
I've drafted Herndon in the 14th round of every basketball draft I've done over the last like 3 weeks.
Oh yeah,
I could get by with say a Njoku or something, and then feel very confident in putting Herndon in week 5.
Herndon's going to be a fucking beast.
Exactly.
He is going to be a fucking beast.
So I think he's worth it.
I think Darnold
is such a fluky kind of position.
I also think Darnold's going to be a fucking really good quarterback too in Superflex Leagues. So that offense has looked very fucking good.
It has.
Surprisingly.
Dude, everyone's hating on Adam Gase. Guy knows football.
Guy sucks.
He's an idiot.
He knows football.
He could suck my ass.
He's an idiot.
And I think that beard is giving him a lot of confidence.
I don't love the receiving core.
I don't.
I don't like Robbie Anderson. I don't think he's that good. I think Crowder will eventually get hurt, and Herndon's going to have all these fucking targets.
I just think it's like those mouths to feed kind of thing, where they're like a light version of whoever, you know what I mean? It's just like...
And we could also say that we saw Herndon play well. Him and Darnold last year, towards the end of the year, were developing great chemistry together.
Yeah.
That's his go-to guy. So when he gets back, I'm very confident in him being a major player in the tight end game.
Yeah, so I'm excited to see what happens in New York this year, but just wanted to throw that note in there.
Keepers.
So here's how we're going to do this. We basically looked at guys who would be good keepers for drafts this year. They may not necessarily produce for you in 2019. Maybe they'll come on the second half of the year, or maybe they're in better situations going into next year due to contract things, whatnot. One of y'all, take it away.
My guy.
T.J. Yeldon. Jesus.
It's not T.J. Yeldon.
We had to delete T.J. Yeldon from the show sheet before this started.
It is Jameson Crowder, who you briefly just brought up.
Interesting. We're listening.
Sam Darnold played 24 snaps through the Jets' first two preseason games. Anderson and Nunua played every snap, and Crowder played 22 out of those 24. So, and he was aligned in the slot on 13 of those plays, which was 59%. Yeah, but Quincy Nunua jumps in the slot every now and then.
Sure.
Listen, slot is hot now. Slot's the way to go. You want a slot receiver on your team. His ADP, 13-10.
Do you think he's going to do well this year?
I actually do. He's going to be kind of like a
safety valve. At least the first 4 weeks of the season, while Herndon's gone.
You know, those crossing routes, those over the in the middle, in the soft zones and stuff like that. I could totally see Jameson Crowder getting 6-7 targets a game.
Yeah,
eight targets a game, no problem. He had.
I mean, he's never been able to stay on the field though.
That's the only issue. But you're getting him so late.
Yeah,
you're not taking him.
Why is he like a keeper thing for you though? Like, why are you excited about him next year over like?
Because Sam Darnold's young and he's growing, and I don't see.
I have Darnold on my list for this category.
Yeah, and I have, you know, Jameson Crowder just signed that 3-year deal. Yeah, he's going to be there next year. He's going to be there next year. Slot is like a cushion for these quarterbacks, and you know, I think it's going to end up being Robbie Anderson's going to be the big shot guy down the field, and that's it. They said he's running routes now, but he's like 190 pounds.
Yeah.
So
how much is skinny?
I feel like Jameson Crowder is probably like 100 fucking 70 pounds.
But he's in a different position.
I know.
So listen, I just like here. I had his career in the slot: 67.9 overall grade, 45 explosive plays, which is eighth, and 6.2 yards after the catch.
I mean, I'm on board with him as a safety.
He's top 10
while fucking Herndon's out. I don't know. Crowder was never someone who excited me in Washington. Everyone always got excited about like the production he had on the field, but he never really had that much production.
No, 2 years ago, I remember like going up to the draft board so excited to draft him because I thought he was going to be a fucking breakout player.
Yeah, he's a situation player where if he winds up in the right situation, I think he could do well, which I think we'll see in the beginning of the year.
I mean, he had, in 2016, he had 847 yards, 55 was his longest. He had 7 touchdowns.
Yeah, that's a pretty good year, but it's also 3 years ago. And
2017,
a lot of injuries in
he declined a little bit, but then he was banged up for these years.
But that's how he operates. He's always banged up.
Yeah.
But I will pivot to Sam Darnold because I think Darnold is a guy that right now he's going off the board at like quarterback 22, 24, something like that. And if you're in a keeper league, obviously you want these younger guys who are going to progress quickly. And the second year, the third year jump for quarterbacks is when you see that happen, right? We saw it with like Mitch Trubisky last year. We're going to see it with a few of the rookies from this year. You know, Baker's going to take a huge jump up. I think we'll see it from Darnold. I do think he's like 1 year away still from being that like top 12 every week starter in your lineup. But they're doing a good job putting the pieces together for him, man. I also think this offensive line is pretty banged up right now. They lost like 2 guys already, and I think they have 1 guy who's possibly coming back. I don't know. It's a pretty shitty situation. But the weapons are developing. I think it's going to be 1 more year before you're feeling really good about him. Mm-hmm. But I'm feeling good about him as like a quarterback 2 in super flex leagues right now because their offenses look pretty dynamite. He's looked like his arm strength has really gone up. I know we've seen a lot of reports about that, but he's firing it pretty accurately too. He's looked a lot like Daniel Jones over there, the other quarterback in New York. Very accurate on short, intermediate throws, zipping the ball, moving well outside of the pocket. I don't think he's turned the ball over yet this
preseason.
And that's
his big thing. He throws a lot of interceptions.
Yeah.
He turns the ball over a lot.
And he's looked better. So I'm on board with Sam Darnold kind of progressing quickly. I mean, he came into the league last year. He was the youngest quarterback ever to start a fucking game.
Yeah, he's got great hair too.
And what you want to see from a young quarterback like that is progression over the course of the year. And by the end of the year, he was playing really, really well. And I think we're going to see that carry over. So if we get some continuity going between the weapons and the offensive line and things, Darnold right now, where he's going in drafts, I think is a very, very good investment.
Yeah, I like Darnold. I think he's a ball player, man. Hate saying it because he's a Jet, but he's going to be very good. So I'm actually going to go to rookie here, rookie running back. Kind of big hype. I mean, he wasn't playing with the ones, but Justice Hill, who was very impressive to me when I watched. Mm-hmm. He had 10 carries, 49 yards, and he had a touchdown. But he forced 9 missed tackles.
On 12 fucking...
On 12, like, are you kidding me? 12
you
touches, 9 missed tackles.
You saw the tweet. There's a tweet from somebody that was like, he forced 9 missed tackles on
and
12
Mark
carries.
Ingram hasn't done that.
Hadn't done that in five years. I was going to say, we needed to slow the hype train a little bit on Justice Hill, because he was someone I was really excited about, but the guy hasn't stepped on the field with the ones
yet. I know. It's
he
big.
Ran like one route with Lamar Jackson last week, but like it's consistently Ingram, Dixon, Gus Edwards, then Justice Hill.
I couldn't agree more, but I don't see anything Kenneth Dixon. I think he's just bad. I'm sorry. I used to like him, but he's not really exciting me. Ingram, while probably still will be productive this year, they're in a run-oriented offense. I just like visually, just the eye test. I know it wasn't with the ones, it was against backups, but the way he was able to force missed tackles, his quick speed, and then his agility, I don't know. I like him. He's going, what, 13th, 14th round?
Yeah.
Probably, so.
I mean, for later, sleepers, for keepers, absolutely.
Because yes, I can see.
He'll go earlier in sleep.
Yeah,
in
I can see
league,
him maybe later on in the year getting fresh legs in there and producing, and then. You know,
you're not drafting him for this year.
No, of course not. That's why
he's going to be your keeper.
Exactly. That's exactly this segment right now.
I was really excited about him coming in. And I've been writing the recaps each week for preseason in the draft guide. And like he was someone I wanted to focus on because I wanted to see how much run he got with the ones. It's not a lot.
It's not there yet. No.
And that's the problem. It's like for years we saw like Kenneth Dixon dominate in the preseason. Oh, missed tackles force. He's so elusive. And then the Ravens just, you know, he either gets hurt, they just don't give him the opportunity. So for this backfield, like, listen, I'm all in on his talent and I'm all in on like using those statistics to kind of skew your way into loving the guy.
Yeah, yeah.
We also have to understand, like, this is what preseason is for. Like, a lot of people don't pay attention to it enough to the point where it's like, what are the usage with the ones? But the Ravens are telling us right now that Hill is not.
It's not there. No, he's not. He's not ready to go with the ones yet.
What I'll be excited about, what I'll be excited about is like, when do the teams really start making cuts?
I think after
week three, usually.
Okay, yeah. I was gonna say like, because probably. I'm assuming Dixon or Gus Edwards will probably get cut.
One of them
is probably gonna get. Right. It's probably gonna be Dixon. So if one of them gets cut this week, and then we see Hill get maybe like 30% of the snaps with the ones, I'll start getting excited because we know the talent is there, and he could eventually eat into the workload. Like when you see him play, he's just a whole nother level of speed.
That's what I'm saying. Like just the eye test alone, and then you read into the numbers. And us in the fantasy football community loved missed tackles. Yes, 9 of them. Like that pops out of you right away.
Yeah.
So you see that, you read the numbers. We want to see him with the ones, which is obviously understandable. And like you said, hopefully week three is the big week. Starters usually play into the third quarter, so he'll have more of an opportunity there. But one of those backs is going to get cut. So next year, I could see Mark Ingram dying. I don't, you know, he just feels like a fossil to me.
Yep.
They'll probably run him into the ground because Lamar Jackson can't throw the football. So we'll see.
Yeah, I'm good on Justice Hill for next year for sure. Another guy I like, another rookie wide receiver out in Philly is JJ Arcega-Whiteside. Now
Arcega-Whiteside.
We have liked him for a minute now. He's been pretty high up on our rookie rankings for a while. Now, when you look at the situation they have there, he's currently the wide receiver 4 behind Alshon, behind Nelson Aguilar, behind DeSean Jackson. I mean, all of these guys have dealt with some sort of injuries over the last few years. So as soon as one of them goes down, he's the next guy to step up. I've watched most of Jaws' snaps this preseason. He's not really running with the ones much, and we haven't seen Wentz be out there, so it's hard to get a clear picture. But he's looked really fucking good in the limited time that he's played. Alshon is signed through 2021, but next year he takes a significant dead cap drop off, so he could be a potential trade or cut. It's still over like $6 million to cut him, so I'm not sure they're gonna cut him. But right now it's like $18 million, so they definitely can't cut him now.
Not doing that.
But next year could be a trade candidate. Nelson Aguilar is a free agent after this year, so I'm assuming he's gonna be gone.
Yep. DeSean Jackson's on his way out. I mean, well, how many more years
they
have left?
They signed him to a 3-year, and it's pretty loaded. Probably play two throughout. I would say two. Yeah, but when I looked in, I was like, wow, they're serious about this investment.
But Jeffrey has injury history problem too, so
Jeffrey and DeSean Jackson. So there are a lot of avenues for JJ to get into this lineup at one point. And I'm pretty sure at one point during this year, he's going to be a guy that becomes like one of the top waiver wire pickups throughout the year that we all get kind of excited for as his snaps like slowly move into, you know, a higher percentage. And, you know, just look at who he is as a raw talent. 6'2", 225, 4'5", 4'4".
He's got all the traits.
Which puts him like the 90th percentile. He's a guy who produced in college. He dominated on that team. He's amazing in the red zone. Dallas Goedert is dealing with a calf strain. Same thing Derrick Henry's been out with for like a month now. So people are not really talking about that. But Zach Ertz, you know, is back up the draft board because Goddard's probably going to miss some time. If that's the case, they need more red zone weapons. And Jaws kind of steps into that role. We've heard so much throughout the preseason already about how dominant he's been in the end zone, in the red zone. So JJ, I think he will crack the lineup and make an impact this year. But next year, I think it's all systems go for him.
My next guy here, you guys have heard his name before. I've mentioned him a couple times.
Oh, sweet Jesus.
It's not T.J. Yeldon.
I was going to say, I thought we took him.
It is Rashard Higgins.
Love it.
He is 24 years old, ADP. I have unknown because he's not really getting drafted a lot.
I've started taking him in like the 17th.
Yeah, he's going in very, like maybe the 15th round, 16th, if, you know, in some deeper leagues, which I get it. He's a wide receiver 3 on the Browns, but just look at this preseason numbers real quick. Week 1, 5 receptions, 98 yards, and a 24-yard touchdown from Baker Mayfield.
On the first team drive.
Yeah, on the first team drive. So there's some rapport there with him and Baker. They have something going on. Week 2, 4 receptions, 34 yards with Garrett Gilbert. So not the best, but he still looks very solid when he's out there. He's running nice routes. Speed's not there. He ran a 4.640. But you know who else ran a 4.640? Jerry Rice. Jerry Rice ran a 4.640.
Is that facts? He ran a 4.640.
Yeah, that's why he went. That's why he fell so far in his draft.
Yikes!
But people don't take into account.
Crack up, you're just Jerry Rice.
I'm not comparing the two of them. I
would compare them. I think they're a good comparison.
The thing you have to look at game speed.
You look at game speed. You also have to look at the opportunity there because Antonio Callaway was someone I was targeting in like the 17th of all the basketball drafts. Then he's suspended for the first 4 games.
Yep.
He's dealt with so many fucking off the field issues that the Browns got to be
off the field issues, and he drops a lot of balls.
So Rashard Higgins is the number 3 there. It's like Jarvis Landry is running the slot routes. Odell is on the outside opposing Higgins, so he's gonna have no coverage.
He's gonna get targets. Last year, he took him a little while to get going. He also, this is actually really interesting. Highest PPR points per target, Rashard Higgins is number fourth on the list behind Tyreek Hill, Mike Williams, and Tyler Lockett. Granted, the sample size is small, but you can just see that there is a rapport building between him and Baker. If you look at the last 2 weeks of last season.
In yards per target last year, second overall in production premium, 10th overall in target premium on player profiler, 18th best QB rating when targeted in all of the NFL among wide receivers. Higgins is a very, very sneaky good late round pick that I think is going to end up. Wouldn't surprise me whatsoever if he cracked the top 30 fantasy wide receivers.
Yeah, I could see him with five touchdowns, no problem.
100%. I could see him. I could see him with like 6, 7. Yeah, 100%. And maybe catch 50 to 60 balls for 800 yards or something. I think he's got plenty of
games. And if Odell goes down,
he will go down.
Okay, so when Odell goes down, Rashard Higgins stock, boom.
Facts.
Soaring.
So you're just beating it to the punch, baby.
Yeah, I'm all over it. I'm all over Rashard Higgins. I'm all over it.
You know what's funny? That might be the first thing under the radar great thing you've said.
No, that's not true.
In the history of your life, since actually. November. Not just on this show.
Yeah.
That's false.
No.
No.
It's not that false.
No.
You see, Odell also endorsed Higgins. They
what,
said
the president?
Yeah. They said, like how are you feeling? He's like, oh, my hip's fine, but you see my boy balling or something like that? What do you say?
Higgins is about to blow the fuck up. Hundo P, the Higginator.
Said the hip is fine, but also mentioned that Rashard Higgins is rolling.
Skirt. Let's talk about Josh Gordon.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We got to bring him
up. Josh Gordon has been reinstated by the NFL. I haven't looked into the details because I don't care what the fuck happens. I'm just not drafting him.
No, because he's not going to play.
I've had so many questions, like DMs and stuff. Like, what should I
do with Josh Gordon?
Yeah, how much fab should I spend on him? Like,
if it's preseason fab, like, there's not much left of the preseason, so you can go spend a significant portion on it.
Yeah, I'd probably spend all of it on it. Fuck it.
Preseason. But if the fab does not reset when the regular season starts, then obviously don't do that because it's just people are like, his upside is wide receiver one, his downside is top 24. I'm like, that's ridiculous. His downside is just never fucking stepping
foot on the field. Yeah, his downside is not playing in the NFL.
People just act like, oh my God, it's the NFL stopping him from stepping on the field because of the weed. It's like, no, Josh...
He stopped himself last season.
Facts. Like, the biggest problem is the NFL is not the one holding Josh Gordon back.
Josh Gordon is holding Josh Gordon back.
He's stepped away from the game, like, multiple times. It's not the NFL making him step away from the game. He's got fucking demons in his head.
Yeah. I mean, listen, right.
Everyone's got some demons.
I hope the absolute best for him, but he can't be trusted.
No.
I'm not trusting him to... I'm not...
If you have him already on your team, congrats.
Fine, yeah.
And I tweeted this out. It was like national fucking... I forget what the fucking word I even said.
Yeah, I know what you're talking
about.
It was
like everyone was just ratioing out Josh Gordon's stats. It was like, oh, well, in games where he played 60% of the snaps and Tom Brady targeted him more than two times, he was averaging 16,000 yards last year. And it's like, okay, like, stop doing that because none of that matters. His biggest concern is being on the fucking field. If he's on the field, sure, he's going to be good. But he's not going to be 2014. When was
that's the problem. Everyone's still holding out for that Browns year.
Right?
Yeah. They're still holding out for that.
Six fucking years ago.
Yeah, I know.
Like, that, you guys... I mean, I'm not... He's in the category where I'm not touching him probably before, like, the ninth round, if that.
And it's nothing to do with his talent. It's just him.
Does he need to go through more loops to get back on the field? I feel like
I don't know.
They put him on the NFI list, and I'm not even sure.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I mean, maybe the Patriots have some stuff they want. We don't even know if the Patriots are going to, like...
Play him at all.
Yeah, they might just be like, we don't want to have to deal with this on our team.
I don't know. They've been behind his back the whole time.
They've
signed him. Like, they've really been pushing hard for him, so
yeah, and the Pats are no bullshit team, so they obviously see something there. But for me, I mean, it sounds like the consensus here is that we're staying away from Josh Gordon, and like no sort of valuable pick should be used on Josh Gordon right now because there's just so many possible ways that it just doesn't work
and
out.
Shit, like I can't trust him, and I also think that offense is going very run heavy. So where is he fully getting all of his upside from? So. Yep. I'm not.
Tom Brady's still going to throw like 28 touchdowns.
I'm not saying he's not. I'm just saying it's not. I'm not racing to the podium to draft Josh Gordon.
Yeah. No way. Not someone I'm excited
about. I'm not taking the risk to because it costs too much.
There will be someone else who buys into the hype that takes him earlier than
any
of us.
Somebody else will fall to you. Take.
All right. Let's talk about a couple more keepers before we get into the hurt. I know we both like Devin Singletary.
Yes. Yes. I love him.
So the way the preseason has gone so far is that they gave Frank Gore the start in week one. And let him have all the snaps while they sat Shady McCoy. Week two, they flipped the script and they started Shady and sat Frank Gore. Devin Singletary has been the second back in for both of those games. So he's running with the twos right now. He's got a couple snaps with the ones. He's looked good. I'm not sure I'm that excited about him.
It's still a leaky offense, so it's not.
It's a leaky offense that doesn't project to have a lot of scoring opportunities.
Not excited for him as in like this season?
Yeah.
Or overall?
You know what? It's weird because right before the combine... Like, when I just watched the film, Devin Singletary is my favorite running back in the class. He's so fucking elusive. As soon as he clocked in at like the 4.64, I'm like, ooh, this guy's athleticism might be shot. And I think a lot of that comes onto the NFL field. When you watch him preseason, he looked elusive, but he looked kind of slow. Mm-hmm. Like, he wasn't able to beat players around the corner.
Yeah.
And that will only get you so far. So my concern is that his ceiling is capped. Like, you want to draft him as the RB1 in Buffalo, but, like, how many touches is his ceiling even? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? At any point in his career is what I'm saying. Because he's very small, too.
I like what I saw out of the backfield. He's got 8 targets in 2 games, limited action. So, I mean, that's definitely something good to hold your hat on. And the opportunity for next year, as we're talking about keepers, and you're talking about next year,
Frank Gore is hopefully gone.
Frank Gore's going to be gone. I wouldn't be
surprised if all 3 guys outside of Singletary are not in Bills uniforms.
So he's going to jump into that opportunity as long as he seizes it. And I don't see why he wouldn't. But obviously, like you said, that the learning curve from the rookie to the NFL, it's a lot faster. He's got to adjust. But
I just don't know if his athleticism will let him. You know what I mean? Like, he's just not fast enough to
Could very well be the case. I think he's going to get his opportunity, especially next year, like we said, with all those guys being gone. But
maybe he puts together like a fucking Justin Forsett year or something like that. Who knows?
It's possible.
But yeah, like I love Devin Singletary just off of raw ability, but I'm having a harder and harder time kind of buying into anyone in this backfield. Like, really,
I think I like more that his situation going into next year.
Yeah,
it'll be a third, Josh Allen's third year, so you'd hope he'd be a little bit better.
I can't believe Robert Foster's not fucking running with the ones. It's a travesty.
It's kind of upsetting.
Yeah, I don't know what happened there. I feel like everyone thought he was definitely going to be...
Me like too. And then they just decided to throw like fucking Zay Jones out there. Cole Beasley
came in and what fucking happened. And John Brown.
Yeah, but Robert Foster should be the number 2 outside with John Brown. There's no reason Zay Jones should be out there.
He's so bad.
Zay Jones. Zay Jones season.
He's so bad.
It's not fucking just Zay Jones season. Shut your mouth. Is that all we got? I don't know. We want to talk about Chris Herndon, too.
Yeah, we talked about him in the beginning, but...
But if he's falling in your drafts, he's going to be a stud at the tight end position. He's going to be like a top 8 tight end for the next foreseeable fucking 3 to 5 years. So.
And obviously, we're talking keepers, so we're really thinking, obviously, a little bit about this year, but more so next year. So he's hopefully not going to be suspended for the first 4 games next year and can just take off week 1. So... Very high on Chris Herndon.
I love Chris Herndon. I wanted to mention real quick, I don't have like big facts or anything really, but Mecole Hardman. I think if you
Cole get Hardman's him, look good, man.
In like the 13th round, it's his ADP right now. Why not? I mean, Tyreek Hill has a history of not being the best person on earth. So who knows if the Chiefs want to put up with that much. Maybe they win a Super Bowl this year and they say, all right, Tyreek, go get the fuck out of here. And Mecole, we're gonna work with you now.
It's also very dangerous.
Also, like Sammy Watkins. Bro, you know what's funny about dynasty trades? Remember the trade I made for Sammy Watkins from Scott? I don't know if either of you guys remember. But at the time, it was like an easy win for me. It was Sammy Watkins for JJ, Arcega-Whiteside, and a second-round pick. Going back, I would take Jaws and a second-round pick in a fucking heartbeat.
Yeah.
That was an in-the-moment trade.
We were like convinced Tyreek Hill wasn't even going to play this year.
Right. Yeah.
And I was like, let's do it. But yeah, now looking back on it, I'm like, I wish I could have
that. Listen, I'm just looking. I just want to week 1 of preseason, Mecole Hardman, he had 2 receptions, 31 yards and a touchdown. And then he had week 2, he had the 1 catch for 17 yards and it was a touchdown catch. So he's getting targeted.
He's carrying over his explosive plays from college.
Yeah.
Which is good to see because a lot of players can't do that.
It was like on a punt return where he tried to like run backwards and like around and he got caught. So listen,
I mean, if you're gonna throw a guy there out on punt return, like, he's your most athletic player, you gotta let him do what he does.
But here I'm looking at here, do you think Mecole Hardman has a chance to do this? Tyreek Hill's first season, 83 targets, 61 receptions, 593 yards, 6 touchdowns.
No,
not the targets.
Where is he gonna play that?
Yeah,
well, that's the problem with this year. But I mean, in the future, could you see him developing into like a shitty Tyreek Hill?
Depending on what you mean by shitty Tyreek Hill.
Shitty.
No, not shitty, but like Tyreek Hill is
like a lesser Tyreek Hill.
Where do you
the same kind of?
When was the last time you saw a player like Tyreek Hill that his size and speed? He's so small.
What I think is going to happen with Mecole Hardman is like them. I think they're going to use him as like a almost like a gadget player, like a Percy Harvin, where it's like you're never going to depend on him as like a real nice like outside wide receiver. Yeah, like have a lot of design plays.
Or how about a throwback to the old Kansas City days of Dante Hall?
Ooh, hell yeah. Well, I feel like all he did was return kicks.
That's all he did. Was so good.
He was so fucking. Yeah. He was amazing. He was he's iconic. He's an iconic.
He's iconic. Him and Priest Holmes, man. How did they?
Yeah, I remember when they started off that year like 11-0 or something like that, and he had like a kick return for a touchdown almost every fucking game.
Yeah, one of my favorite football games ever was the playoff game between the Chiefs and the Colts. Where it was like 45-48. There was no punts.
That was like semi recently. I feel like that was within the last 5 years. Luck,
wasn't
it?
No. Different one. Yeah, it's a different one.
Oh, that was one.
But yes, you're right. It was the same one when the Colts. the Chiefs were up like 21. The Colts came back, and that ridiculous play where Luck, like, I guess the football was fumbled.
Was this during the Peyton Manning era?
Huh?
Was this during the Peyton Manning era?
It was during the Peyton. I think it was Peyton Manning and Trent Green was the quarterback.
For wow.
Wait. I put up our selfie, and I said, special guest Jeffrey Dahmer in the dungeon today. Wade comments, that man's Wikipedia page is twisted.
Yes, Wade.
He's not probably didn't know who Jeffrey Dahmer was.
So no, he had to look him up.
I was like, whoa.
Person. He had to look him up.
No, he's definitely in here. He's probably going to fucking kill us after this episode, Wade.
Every time I think of Jeffrey Dahmer,
yeah,
I think
so. Hopefully,
I think of the ringer.
Hope you guys like some of those keepers. Maybe
yeah, I hope you got some value. I would like to know what you guys think of some of the late round picks for your drafts.
Yeah,
and who you're targeting for next year.
Exactly. Any guys that you're targeting, I'd love to know because I could use some. Right,
you could definitely use, the help. Even though we eliminated.
I could use
keepers.
The help this year. Yeah, it's true. Fuck.
You should so draft Mark Ingram. Good
by
keeper.
The way, I'm very mad about that.
About what?
I'm kind of mad keepers. About it now too.
I'm a little bit upset.
Too. Right, I feel like we're all having a little like buyer's remorse on voting no.
Well, I didn't vote no. I voted.
I didn't.
Keep him.
I actually didn't vote. I was the last one, but you already lost the vote.
Like, I get it.
Fuck.
Maybe we can bring it up next time. Maybe like in every 4 year thing, just start completely fresh. But I mean.
Right before the World Cup, we allow keepers.
That's might
to
be
to keep
idea.
For the next year.
Yeah.
That
it's
would
just
be pretty...
it's just you get rewarded. I don't think that's a bad thing.
I see you, dog. All right, herd of goats. Herd of goats. Bah! What kind of sound does a goat make?
They bah.
Bah.
No, that's like a chicken.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're gonna take South Dakota and fucking Minnesota.
Let me call Eli Manning.
Oh, good one. I'm pretty sure they ba, right? Or is that sheep?
I'm fucking so pissed right now.
That was good. Come on.
That was not bad.
That was good.
All right. Who's got the GO1?
Me.
Who?
Drunk Munchies. Number one. I think we all know. Pizza.
You love it so much you didn't even finish it.
Well, I was saving it for this. Yeah. And now it's disgusting.
Is it? I'll take it.
Is it cold yet?
Is it cold pizza?
Is it cold yet?
Because
no. This is a huge argument.
It was a huge argument. I picked pizza. And Animal's like, can I do cold pizza? No.
I was going to make you specify from where, because I'm surprised you didn't say Domino's pizza.
Well,
Domino's is easily the best drunk pizza.
It
is
so
fucked
good.
Up.
It really is. But I'm actually going to go with pizza overall. All I do is eat pizza. I have like 20 slices a week. And that's
easy
really
choice.
It's not an exaggeration. So when you're drunk, it's only 20 times better. And I'm drunk 24/7. So it's pizza, drinking. That's the way of life. That's the American
what
way.
What snacks does. Pizza,
that's what
drinking.
I do. Pizza, snacks, drinking. That's it.
That's a great life.
That's a great
not
life.
A healthy one, but a great one.
No, I don't care.
Not a long one.
Live it while you're here. Yeah.
I'm here for a good time, not a long time. I got two Super Bowls. I've seen it all. I'm done.
You've what actually had a lot of good stuff in the last like 8 years or so.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, dude.
You're, I think you're ready to die.
Oh, I'm good. I don't care.
Dude, well, there are some Jets fans that haven't had what you had. Two Super Bowls and cancer? Dude, mm-hmm. That's crazy. It's nuts.
Go. GO2. Our entire first round, our entire G round is dedicated to fucking Za. Go.
Yeah,
GO2.
So, the G2, I have diner food, breakfast especially.
Oh, you swapped. I thought you swapped.
Well, I couldn't do cold pizza. You guys fucking said no.
I didn't say no.
I said no.
I just
wanted to do cold pizza. Anyway, diner food, but specifically, I focus on the breakfast.
Let me ask you something. Is this like... After a party, you have like 4 or 5 people who are still like hammered and it's like going into the next morning diner food?
Or yeah, is like a 2 a.m. diner.
I was thinking like 6 a.m. Like if you stayed up all
or
night.
That.
I mean,
yeah,
it could be
2
a.m. It could be 3 a.m. It could be 5 a.m.
Well,
that
6 a.m. treat, you're like, you're drunk, but you're more delusional.
It's better at
like
6 a.m. because
you're like, it's like Dazed and Confused.
Yeah,
basically
exactly what
it is.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, 6 a.m. is still good because it's basically like you're eating breakfast at breakfast time, kind of. And
so now you don't have to feel like such a fucking psycho.
Yeah, you're like, I'm just doing what I should be doing, kind of.
So diner food, I'm with that. I think the experience around being at the diner is probably just as fun as enjoyable as the fucking diner.
So there's just so many options, man. You want pancakes? Do you want corned beef hash?
Yeah, I've actually ordered some weird shit. I feel
in college, we had a diner on campus. It was just unreal.
I feel like I would order pancakes and a Philly cheesesteak and like end up putting syrup on both. And
I mean, I probably always get disco fries if I'm hammered too, like cheese fries.
Oh, disco
always.
Fries are the go.
It's like a table order. Everyone's like, yeah, let's get cheese fries.
Yeah, it's like we're gonna split this, and like you end up with it like all over your face and your fingers and shit.
You go to the diner at this.
I'm kind of down. We also have that Chick-fil-A gift card.
No!
Ozam.
All right. So the GO3, pizza bagels. Mm. I think this is differentiating from regular pizza.
I agree.
There's nothing better than when you're somewhere and some fucking god, some saint.
See, but that's the problem. You need someone to make them.
There's always someone that's willing to make pizza bagels. Now, the problem with pizza bagels is if you're drunk, the person making them fucks them up in one of two ways. They either make them way too fucking hot,
yep,
or they don't cook the center of it. Mm-hmm. The center of it's still cold, which, you know, when you're drunk, the cold is better than the hot because you won't burn yourself and you'll just be like, it's fine.
Yeah, it's not that bad.
But there is not a more welcoming sight than seeing someone come out of the fucking kitchen when you're in the living room hammered and someone just brings out that tray of pizza bagels. Yeah. You dominate them. Pizza bagels is my G-O.
You give kisses for that.
001 is a good late night Wendy's run. Now, Wendy's was like our fast food by our house. So basically, as soon as you got your license, that was the first thing you did. Was you had
actually, I 100% think that's exactly where I went when I got my license.
Me too. I think the day I got it, I went straight from the DMV to Wendy's. Yep. But when we were that age, like every house party we went to, there'd always be someone. There'd be a DD who would take late night orders and come back with mountains of fucking fries and junior bacon cheeseburgers and shit. So I'm going Wendy's, junior bacon cheeseburger, and fries. We would dominate those by the fucking half dozen.
All day.
Yeah.
All day.
It's an easy choice.
And all that money was so well spent.
That's such a fucking Emerson thing, too. Or like it really this
is.
Area.
It very much is.
Because that's all we got over here. That's just like,
yeah, it was that Wendy's. If you were lucky, you'd get someone that would be like brave enough to go all the way to Taco Bell.
No.
You have to be very lucky.
It happens. No.
I would take Wendy's over Taco Bell in a second.
I wouldn't. But.
Go.
But I am up. And what am I? The 002. 002. This is Agent 002.
Listen. I know you're getting hungry thinking about all this food, but let's go. Let's go.
We got things to do.
White Castle sliders. Great when you're one. Drunk, you just you have a DD or whatever. You have someone drive you there.
Or whatever.
You order a Crave case, and you go outside, and you eat them Friday Night Lights style in the back of the truck or on the hood of the car, and there's nothing better. You come home, you smell like onions and just awfulness, and you get in bed, and you wake up, and your bed smells like onions.
Y'all are some nasty motherfuckers. Like, you guys want Taco Bell and White Castle. That is good. Like, that is the opposite idea of a good time for
me. Dude, when I'm hammered, and I just get that, like, gooey, honestly, the White slimy Castle, burger.
I
so good.
Those things make me throw
you
the
know
fuck
what the best
up.
Part
I can't
is?
Eat those.
By us, so MetLife Giant Stadium is right, it's like 20 minutes from us. On your way home, there's a White Castle.
Yes, yeah, right there.
So you come back from a Giants game or a concert or something. I just went to the Rolling Stones a few weeks ago. We went to White Castle after. Devoured it. Great. Devoured it.
It comes in a suitcase, man. It's a briefcase full of burgers.
It's pretty swaggy. It's all. That's the coolest part about the order.
And they got great onion rings. I like their fries. Yeah. Everything's good.
The accessories for me are better than the burgers. Those things make me sick so far.
Oh, absolutely. Quick. You feel like cunt 3 days after.
No, but they're like they're not like where you eat a Domino's pie and you're like, oh, I feel like a cunt the next day. White Castle legit makes me like it hurts my stomach. I'm like, dude, I can't do this.
Oh, well, it's the same feeling every time though. It's consistent, which I don't
it's
mind.
True. You know what you're getting.
Yeah,
like, it's always a fucking idea, drafting Josh.
I know
Gordon.
Like
it's
how
not,
my
never
farts
a good
gonna,
feeling, but it's a consistent.
I know how
shit.
My farts are gonna smell. I know what my poop's gonna be like. I know how my stomach's gonna feel. It's the same thing every time.
You're
it's
right.
It's not
know
an
exactly
experience that I
want to
keep fucking reliving over and over again.
Definitely do.
You know the floor and you know the ceiling.
Yeah.
So
yeah, because you poop on the floor. So what happens? You can't get in the fucking bathroom. Let's go to 003.
Okay, I kind of going away from the fast food a little bit. Chinese food. How do you, Brandon? If you listen, I know one of our friends
Brando's
is
Chinese food.
All in on Chinese food.
He actually texted me yesterday. He's like, I need you to help me make up my mind about Chinese food for today. I feel like you don't eat Chinese food that often.
Me?
Yeah.
I love Chinese food. We get it like once a week at home.
What's the go-to order?
Just too much. I kind of switch it up every
false,
week.
You don't know shit.
Facts. Why would I pick it?
Sesame chicken combo platter. Ask me. There it is. You didn't even have to ask me.
You got
to
do it. It really, you know what's the best part of it? Well, Chinese when you're drunk is great because Chinese is like a... It's a good running back. Very versatile. There's so many different types of food you can go with.
Lo mein spare ribs. Like you can put everything in.
You always
got to
get
egg roll.
Spare
you
ribs.
Have to. Boneless spare. Even though like if I'm sober, I love a regular rib bone.
I get on the bone.
I don't get the rib. I don't get the bone in when I'm sober.
I do.
Or I don't get the bone in really ever. I like the boneless ones.
Listen, I like the boneless better. But you know what? You could eat so much of it and still like keep going. It's not entirely filling.
Yeah,
like,
it's
you
pretty
could
fucked
have,
up.
You could have a thing of lo mein and you could eat the whole thing.
That's because
still
most of it's just straight carbs.
Right, exactly.
It doesn't hit you for a while.
It ain't like
I was discussing
heavy
it with
protein.
George in like a DM, and we were talking about like what my Chinese order was, and we were talking about how it's so different depending on like where you're at in life. For me, at least, it's like if you're feeling like a huge piece of shit, you're like, yeah, give me all the fried rice and give me sesame chicken. But if I'm feeling like healthy, I'll go chicken and broccoli with like white rice.
Yeah, I feel like at that point, it's not even worth getting Chinese then.
I still like the taste of it. I mean, the
sauce
is
good, makes
but
like,
better.
I want like crispy wontons. Like,
exactly.
I
that's
fried.
What I'm saying. It depends where you're at in life. If I need to be like productive the next day, then I'm going to like literally substitute the fucking egg roll for a Diet Coke. Like, that's how I operate. But
that's crazy.
If I'm really about to fucking slide down the fucking mountain, We're going with a lot of fried food. I mean, it's going to be bad, but it's great. But it's great when you're drunk. I love that pick.
I can't argue what your points are. And also, dude, I fucking love fortune cookies.
Facts.
I love so fortune underrated. Cookies. They are so underrated. My next one is Taco Bell. Right back to fast food. You just said you aren't a big Taco Bell fan, but my A-O-1. Fucking God. Kill me. A-O-1, Taco Bell. And I think it should be higher up on this list because you go to Taco Bell when you're hammered, you order a chalupa, a couple soft tacos, a couple
all the same fucking
tacos.
Thing in a different wrap.
Yeah.
They're so form. Good.
They're
good.
Fucking beef. And
you get
good.
A chicken one, you get a beef one, you get a steak one.
You get a quesadilla. Like,
I do like some of the steak ones. I like the fucking...
Crunchwrap.
Crunchwrap Supreme.
Everybody loves Crunchwrap.
Thing's the goat.
Everybody loves it.
They better fucking love
Listen,
it.
Listen, I love Taco Bell.
It's the only thing I love. It's got to be lovable.
You know what? I know what I'm getting for dinner tonight.
Taco Bell?
Chinese food.
Actually, you know what? I might do Taco Bell and then I might do White Castle. And just give my
both
stomach.
In today?
That's bold.
Give my stomach and my asshole just a beating.
I feel like
beat
that's,
the shit
I feel like
out
you
me.
Shouldn't do that.
Why?
I think you should.
Do I need to make the point?
I ain't drinking today, so I might as well kill my stomach some other
time. I think it's a fabulous idea.
AO2, go.
I think I'm going to do it.
What you got?
It's me.
It's me. It's me. And I got some good old-fashioned street meat, halal platters, chicken platter, chicken rice with the white sauce. I'm all about it.
I'm not a fan.
It's well, because you're a loser. It's so fucking good.
Love that.
I could probably eat it every day.
Living in Brooklyn.
I get the meat sweats from it. So
living in Brooklyn has made me really appreciate
street meat,
halal food.
So maybe that's why.
I don't get the white sauce on it, though, really. That's one of the very few.
That's your biggest mistake.
No, I'm fine with it. Dude, they put a fucking pound of it. It's like you're getting white sauce with chicken on the side.
I have a bottle in the fridge, bro. You can put it on yourself.
Wait, where do you get? Do you go to, like, Teterboro?
Juicy Platters in Fairlawn.
I've had Juicy Platters. It's good.
It's awesome.
But, like, getting that is almost the same thing as getting, like, Chinese food without all that fried shit. Because it's like, rice. It's like, grilled meat.
It's the white sauce, though. And I get extra lettuce. It's just so good.
Yeah, I like the
extra lettuce. The white sauce is so good.
Lettuce guy. Shredded lettuce, one of the most underrated foods on the fucking planet. Versatile. You can put it in your eggs. You can put it on your pizza.
Eggs?
You can put it in your pasta.
What? No, pizza.
Literally just saying things to get reactions. And he's like, no, you can't really do
pizza. And then you skip.
Dip it in ketchup.
You can't put shredded lettuce on your eggs. Like, thanks, fucking snacks.
Whoa.
What?
You're a fucking weird guy. I've seen you put some weird shit on some foods that should not be put on there. So
syrup on pasta is a good combination.
You put like syrup. You put like a Hershey bar on a hot dog.
It's fucking good. We were camping. I was hammered. What do you want from me? I guarantee you if you tried that, you'd be okay with it. You'd be
probably
like, holy
would.
Shit, this is
I
pretty good.
I love hot dogs, yeah. Fuck, and I love chocolate. So.
All right, AO2, what'd you say? Halal food. I got the AO3, right?
Yes, sir.
AO3. Let me find what I even fucking put. I can't find our conversation.
I know what you put.
Half-baked from Ben & Jerry's. I'm a huge sweets guy.
Yes.
And like, if I could just put an entire tray of chocolate chip cookies and ice cream together, I would do that. But I feel like this particular ice cream is just very fitting, obviously.
Mr. Degrassi, man.
Cookie dough and brownie chunks and just fatty ass fucking Ben & Jerry's ice cream.
Yeah,
that's
great.
That makes me happier than eating
really
an entire pint.
You eat the whole pint, right? Yeah, I was going to say you have to.
Even sober.
There is some people that eat like half a pint at a time, and I'm like,
fucking
yo,
serial killers,
you're
bro.
A fucking psychopath. Yeah. That's my AO3. We needed to get some sweets in there. I thought about putting goat milk cream pies, but I don't know if I'd get the respect out of the audience for that one. What I was going to do.
You wouldn't get the respect here either.
I was at Stop and Shop before getting some groceries, and I saw, I already picked AO3, and I saw a box of oatmeal cream pies. We were at Christina's for Thanksgiving, and I was eating like six of them. And he's like, Steve, you're letting him drive you home? Because he thought I was drunk, but I was completely sober. He's just eating six of them. I literally, the best thing in the world is to get like so many of them and put them, stack them together and just smush them. And it's thick.
I bet, yeah.
Honestly, they are very fucking
anyways, thick. They're not even on the fucking list. They're a top waiver wire pickup, though. TO1 is chicken fingers with honey mustard. Now, this could almost go back to diner food because I feel like diners
you
do this really well late night. I don't have a specific place to go from.
Chicken fingers and honey mustard is a very specific meal.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Chicken fingers when you're drunk is just magnificent. The honey mustard is the make or break. If it's good honey mustard,
they
could put me in a fucking coma.
Yep.
If it's bad, ruins my fucking night. Mm-hmm. I don't care if I just
I
got
look
laid.
Forward
I don't
to
care if it was a great night with the boys.
Every
need
year,
the honey mustard.
I go to Atlantic City for the States for wrestling, and in like the convention center, I get $10 for chicken fingers and french fries, and I buy it like multiple times every year.
Gotta do
and
it.
I look forward to it.
Hell yeah.
Because I fucking love it.
Chicken fingers.
How so much?
Honey must is a must.
Do you love it?
How much do I love it?
How
do
many?
You love it?
How many?
1 to 10.
How many?
9. I fucking love chicken fingers and fries. One of my favorite
foods.
I'm a child.
You really, really like it. You don't love it.
I fucking love it, and you give it a 9.
Yeah.
That's a fucking miscast.
Why wouldn't you just say
10? Rating.
Nothing gets a 10, guys.
Then give it a 9.7.
Nah, I'm not doing decimals.
That's ridiculous. Go. T2.
Oh,
we are running out of fuel here, boys. Let's go. Let's finish strong.
Fat sandwiches. Fat sandwiches.
Shout out New Jersey.
You are so...
If you don't know what these are, look them up.
This is a fantastic pick.
You know Cars?
No.
I guess maybe at school they had this. They had a delivery service, Cars. That was where it was. All the fat sandwiches in the world.
Yeah.
I got like a fat Rob. It was mozzarella sticks. It was... Chicken fingers, everything on.
Did you ever try the challenge?
You got to eat like six of them.
So the fat sandwiches were created at Rutgers, right? And it was like these food trucks that made fat sandwiches. And basically, what it is just like the best fried food you could possibly think of.
Chicken fingers, French fries, mozzarella sticks.
Yeah, it's like
onion rings, anything.
All on one sandwich. Yeah, and they eventually got really popular and started making different ones. And they made a challenge where if you ate five of them, and they're big and they're fucking thick.
Massive.
If you ate five of them in an hour, you got to name one after yourself and create it. However, you could do like a Philly cheesesteak with fucking halal white sauce on it, French fries, onion rings, and shit like that. Easily. We grew up when they first started coming out. We had tons of friends that went to Rutgers, so this was like fucking right up our alley. Mm-hmm. And then fat sandwiches kind of fucking exploded.
Yeah, now there's
everywhere.
Like you can go to like stores. There's fucking you can get fat sandwiches.
Where do you get one? I think I know.
Morristown has like a place that's like
I'm
called
not
Fat
going
Something.
To Morristown,
I'm just saying, like that's like people where people go and drink there, and then they go and get fat sandwiches.
No, I completely understand. I'm talking about like around here. If I want,
I don't know around here. Probably there's.
I think there's one in Westwood. I can't remember the name of it though. Yeah, just look up
sandwiches near me
in fucking Westwood or something. You'll be able to find one, I think. So that was your AO2.
TO2. Snacks is going to finish us.
End us off.
Yeah, so you went with the ice cream, which I love. I love Oreos and milk. Like,
huge fan.
Love it. I like chocolate chip cookies. Like, that's my favorite cookie. But in milk, I don't think there's anything better than an Oreo. A double stuffed Oreo.
The double stuffed is so
My God. It gets like soft in there.
My only question is, are you a twister? Are you a dipper? Or
no, I dip.
Now, see, you dip and eat?
Twister.
I dip and eat. See, if I'm not, if I don't have milk, and, if I don't have milk, weird. I might twist. I may.
Yeah.
But I normally don't. I just
see, I'm food. A straight up.
Eat the whole thing.
Crush them up, throw them in there like it's basically Oreo cereal and just fucking, it's so good.
I don't hate that.
It's so good.
The hardest part about this
is the way to go.
Never thought of that.
It's the way to go.
The hardest part about the drunk food was like I was thinking about naming other foods, but also you have to make sure that it's not like difficult to make. So that was my only problem with like Oreos and milk.
That's
is like
I said, pizza bagels could be tough.
Yeah, it could be, but I don't think I've ever actually made them personally. Well, it's always like someone, some fucking godsend coming
that's
out
why,
of left
yeah,
field
that's
with
why
them.
The least drunk girl at
what
the party.
What do you mean? Why is Oreos and milk hard? All you have to do is pour milk and you have Oreos. Right
that's
in front of you.
Way harder for you than you're letting it off to be. Like you pouring
you
milk when you're hammered is probably a joke. Half of it probably ends up on the floor.
Yeah, Benny drinks it.
That's a good point. I mean, some people don't.
Why do you think he's
some
so
people
fat?
Don't have a
you
fat
see that picture I put
dog.
On Instagram?
Yeah, he's looking thick. he's looking good. He's eating good.
He's beautiful. I love that fucking thing. I can't wait to go home and just kiss him.
What are you going to?
But all in all, there are just so many foods that when you're hammered are all great. There's
I don't. Are there? I mean, a harder list would have been foods that aren't great when you're hammered.
True.
Like, I've eaten a lot of weird things. Yeah, I've probably eaten salad when I was.
Oh, I have. But I'm just saying, I wouldn't want to.
As long as I put a shitload of honey mustard.
Like, that's like. Starting Nathan Peterman. Like, you have to do it, but...
Really thinking about throwing an order in for a Nathan Peterman Bills jersey. Like that... Can you name
Bills
a swagger jersey? Hell yeah. When
did you see that
picks.
Video that Barstool posted?
Dante Hall.
Yeah, when I saw that was cool.
With, like, all the bad jerseys. It was basically, like, every shitty quarterback and a couple other players.
He actually hasn't looked that bad.
I think the next bet we make is whatever it is, the loser has to buy the other people a jersey of their choice. But it has to be, like, a weird... retro or weird swaggy jersey like that. Peterman, Dante Hall, fucking Jamarcus.
Yeah. What about and who was the one from Oklahoma State too? Justin Blackman.
Justin Blackman.
Yeah. Yo, I love Justin, but he's still banned by the NFL.
It's like snacks.
Yeah.
It's like Josh Gordon. Who has a better chance of playing this year?
I wanted to bring,
Blackman or
actually,
Josh Gordon?
That's who I wanted to bring up when we had that thing from FanDuel. The guys who like didn't pan out, Justin Blackman. That was like a real one. Like
yeah,
he was actually a good player who just didn't fucking pan out because
he was
like,
so good in college. Him and Brandon Weeden. You know what's amazing?
He was
that
good
a
on
team
the Jaguars.
Drafted Brandon Weeden in the first round and he was already 27 years fucking old coming into the draft. He was 28 probably by the time he was
in
the league.
Yeah, when he started, I think he was 28. It's disgusting.
Imagine drafting a fucking quarterback at 27, 28 years old. All right, that's all we got for today's video. Make sure you follow them two fucking assholes on Twitter as well as the podcast. Subscribe to the channel if you are new. Everything 2019 fantasy football for the rest of the offseason, into the season, into next season, into the season afterwards.
Also, I'm starting a singing career. I'm
okay.
Playing
we are
a
done with that. We'll be the cue
and roll,
cut
dude.
The audio.
really good.
Yeah. Solid work.
The day shows bring out the best.
Yeah, I fucking love day shows. Yeah, really do. We should start doing like 5:30 in the morning shows.
Relax. I mean, I said that like months ago.
No, you didn't.
I did.
We've always said it, but one, you were supposed to be back in your office, I thought. But you came home every Monday. Are you like,
I can't even like sit in a chair for 8 hours, so I can't.
Are you like home for the foreseeable future on Mondays?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, I have a job for you.
What's that?
Be my personal assistant.
You can't pay me.
What makes you think I can't pay you? My salary with Nick is through the roof.
Oh, that's true.
He could pay it's you. I know what he gets paid. He could pay you.
Exactly.
Damn.
All I need you to do, it's very simple work. Just make my bed, wipe my ass.
That doesn't seem like simple work for you.
Buy my wine, feed me my wine.
I can barely wipe my own ass.
Okay.
Take care after my baby, that's it.
Enough.
Animal guarantees that y'all are going to go buy t-shirts because everything in the store has officially been marked down in price by a huge.
You know, it's really a sin that I've been ready for.
Dude, you have not been ready since you walked in.
Not true.
Your eyes are bloodshot. You look like shit.
Are they really?
You're breathing real heavy.
Listen, I don't need this bullshit. I got a lot on my fucking mind.
I feel like you have nothing going through your mind right now.
No, I just have that monkey clapping the
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.